The Book of Daniel, number 143, Unveiling Prophetic Patterns, The Last President and the Image of the Beast. Key takeaways: delve into the intricate tapestry of biblical prophecy and its parallels with modern political events, particularly focusing on the United States and its presidents. This article explores how historical and contemporary figures align with prophetic symbols, drawing connections between past events and current political turmoil. From the origins of Babylonian prophecy to the rise of the United States, each era and its leaders are scrutinized through a prophetic lens. By examining the characteristics of past presidents and the trajectory of world events, the article sheds light on the impending crises foretold in biblical prophecy, particularly regarding the formation of the image of the beast and the role of the last president. Biblical prophecy and symbolism. Discuss the use of prophetic symbols in biblical texts, highlighting the significance of historical figures and kingdoms. Emphasize how leaders from Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome were identified as prophetic symbols, leading to parallels with modern leaders. Presidents of the United States as prophetic symbols. Analyze the role of American presidents within the framework of biblical prophecy, drawing parallels between past and present leaders. Explore how the characteristics and actions of presidents align with prophetic patterns, particularly focusing on the last president as a significant figure. Trump as the eighth president and the image of the beast. Examine the prophetic elements surrounding Donald Trump and his presidency, highlighting his significance in the context of biblical prophecy. Discuss Trump's role in the formation of the image of the beast, drawing connections between his actions and prophetic events. Historical parallels and contemporary crises. Compare past world wars and civil unrest with contemporary geopolitical tensions, emphasizing the triple application of prophecy. Analyze how events such as September 11, 2001 and the Patriot Act mirror historical revolutions and their implications for the present. The role of Islam and globalist forces. Discuss the influence of Islam and globalist agendas in shaping current events, particularly in relation to the false prophet and the image of the beast. Examine how escalating warfare, financial crises, and immigration issues contribute to the fulfillment of prophetic narratives. The impending Sunday Law and the fate of nations. Explore the concept of the Sunday Law within the context of biblical prophecy, highlighting its significance as a pivotal moment in history. Discuss how political ideologies and societal trends, such as LGBTQ+ agendas, contribute to the impending crisis and the polarization of nations. Prophetic warnings and the call to preparation. Highlight prophetic warnings regarding the impending crises and the need for spiritual preparedness. Encourage readers to discern the signs of the times and align their lives with biblical principles in anticipation of the fulfillment of prophecy. This comprehensive exploration of biblical prophecy and contemporary politics aims to illuminate the parallels between past events and current crises, urging readers to consider the prophetic implications of modern geopolitical dynamics. The first kingdom of Bible prophecy was Babylon, and in the prophetic testimony of Babylon, the first and last kings were specifically and purposely used as prophetic symbols. In the second kingdom of Medo-Persia, the first two kings, one of which was the king who issued the first of three decrees that allowed ancient Israel to return to Jerusalem, and the following two kings who presented the second and third decrees were specifically identified. So too, the mighty king represented by Alexander the Great and the generals and kings who followed in the history of the third kingdom of Greece were identified in the prophetic word. The fourth kingdom of pagan Rome specifically addresses the rulers and emperors of that kingdom. All the kings of Israel, both the northern and southern kingdoms, were identified, and all are symbols within God's prophetic word, as the Assyrian kings and the pharaohs of Egypt. The idea that God's prophetic word would actually address the presidents of the United States may sound far-fetched to those who have eyes but cannot perceive and ears but cannot understand. But it is actually more absurd to think that God would not address the presidents of the earth beast of Revelation 13, when it is the primary point of reference for the prophecies of the last days. The last president of the United States would of prophetic necessity be typified by the first president of the United States. As the last Republican president, he would of prophetic necessity be typified by the first Republican president. As the last president in the history of the final reform movement, he has also been typified by the first president of that prophetic period. As the president that would be ruling during the final and third world war, he would also have been typified by the presidents who ruled during the first and second world wars. The three world wars that all occurred in American history represent a triple application of prophecy. The third world war, which Joe Biden is now guiding planet Earth into, has been typified by World War I and World War II. At the very same time, Biden is guiding the United States into a second civil war. Over the next months, the prophetic movements associated with the Second Civil War and the Third World War will only escalate as a woman in travail. The famous quote from The Escalation of the Crisis of World War II by Martin Niemöller, a German theologian and Lutheran pastor, was, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." As time continues to march on, we will look back on this current history and recognize the actions that are now taking place were truly the beginning steps of the final wars of prophetic history. In the prophetic period represented from 1776 unto 1798, where the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Alien and Sedition Acts were the waymarks. The history from September 11, 2001 unto the United States speaking as a dragon is represented. September 11, 2001 was a turning point, and the Declaration of Independence aligns with that date. The Declaration of Independence also marks the Revolutionary War and identifies that the Patriot Act of 2001 begins a spiritual repetition of that war. The word revolution means to make a full circle. In the period from 1776 to 1798, the Revolutionary War rejected the kingly power of England and all kings in general. The Constitution placed restrictions not only on kingly power, but just as decidedly popish power. By 1798, the circle, revolution, had been completed with laws enacted that provided kingly authority to a president. The Patriot Act marks a revolution, a wheel, that reaches to the earth beast speaking as a dragon, where popish power is also restored. The first wheel from 1776 unto 1798 identifies a prophetic revolution that leads to the restoration of kingly power, and the revolution it typifies identifies a revolution that leads to the restoration of popish power. The Second Revolutionary War has been underway since September 11, 2001. Why else would it be called the Patriot Act? Before we address the wars that occur in the history of the last president, we will continue to address the prophetic characteristics of the image of the beast. It is important to recognize the environment that exists in the formation of the image of the beast during the last president. That president must be a Republican president who is in a struggle with forces associated with the dragon power. He must be the last, and therefore the eighth president in a period of eight presidents. In the two beginning periods of the United States, the Continental Congresses, both periods were represented by eight presidents, and both periods identified one of the eight presidents as of the seven. Thus, upon two witnesses in the beginning, the last president must be the eighth president, that is of the seven. Only Donald Trump fulfills these prophetic elements. To fully understand the prophetic environment which Donald Trump is about to inherit, it is necessary to understand that prophetically, the first two world wars are represented in the Third World War, and the prophetic characteristics of those wars also speak to the environment Trump is about to inherit. That being said, we are not yet applying the triple application of the three world wars. The escalating warfare brought by Islam and the ensuing financial problems is the means by which Islam of the Third Woe fulfills the role of the false prophet in the formation of the image of the beast in the United States. The ass, which is the false prophet of Islam, carries the false prophet of the United States into Jerusalem, as the ass carried Christ into Jerusalem. On that journey, a prophetic environment which produces the fulfillments of past predictions is created. In 1798, the Alien and Sedition Acts were spoken into the very beginning of history of the Earth Beast that would begin as a lamb and end speaking as a dragon. There were four acts represented in the Alien and Sedition Acts. The Naturalization Act. This act extended the residency requirement for American citizenship. The Alien Friends Act. This law granted the president the authority to deport non-citizens deemed dangerous to the peace and safety of the United States during times of peace. It allowed the government to arrest and deport foreign nationals without due process. The Alien Enemies Act. This act authorized the president to detain and deport any male citizens of a hostile nation during times of war. The Sedition Act. The most controversial of the four, the Sedition Act made it a crime to publish false, scandalous, or malicious writings against the U.S. government or its officials. It effectively criminalized criticism of the government. Donald Trump's campaign is largely based upon his promise to finish building the wall. He started in his previous term as president. He has stated that the greatest deportation in human history will take place when he is elected in 2024. Trump has a personal characteristic, unlike any other politician on the scene of American politics. He keeps, or at minimum attempts to keep, his campaign promises. The Alien and Sedition Acts represents laws that perfectly align with his promise of deportations. One of Trump's greatest accusations associated with the entrenched DC political establishment, he labeled as the Swamp, with all its corrupted, immoral, and compromised politicians, professional bureaucrats, alphabet agencies, and billionaire financiers, is the fake news that is produced by the modern manifestation of Hitler's Reich Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, and that today is called the MSM, mainstream media. The Alien and Sedition Acts represent laws that perfectly align with his hatred of fake news. Jesus always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. The first Republican president was forced to address a civil war that Buchanan, the Democrat predecessor of Lincoln, had produced. In doing so, Lincoln suspended the right of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is a legal principle that protects an individual's right to challenge their detention or imprisonment in court. It is a fundamental legal right that ensures that a person cannot be held in custody without a lawful reason. When a writ of habeas corpus is filed on behalf of a detainee, it requires the government to provide justification for their detention before a court. During the American Civil War, Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus in certain areas of the United States as a wartime measure. He first suspended habeas corpus in Maryland in April 1861 and later extended the suspension to parts of the Midwest. This action was taken to maintain order and suppress dissent in areas where there was strong secessionist or Confederate sympathy, Democrats, and to prevent interference with the Union war effort. Lincoln's suspension of habeas corpus was controversial and raised significant constitutional questions, as it involved a temporary suspension of a fundamental civil liberty guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution allows for the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it, Article 1, Section 9. Lincoln defended his actions as necessary for the preservation of the Union and national security during a time of war. Congress passed the Habeas Corpus Suspension Act in 1863, retroactively authorizing Lincoln's suspension of habeas corpus and providing for certain procedures for military detention. Habeas corpus was gradually restored in the years following the Civil War as the conflict came to an end and the country returned to a state of peace. In 1871, President Ulysses S. Grant, a Republican, also suspended habeas corpus in 9 counties in South Carolina during the Ku Klux Klan's Democrats' reign of terror in the Reconstruction era. This suspension was aimed at combating violence and protecting the civil rights of newly freed African Americans. In 1942, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, a Democrat, during World War II, signed Executive Order 9066, which authorized the forced relocation and internment of Japanese Americans living on the West Coast. While this did not technically suspend habeas corpus, it led to the detention of Japanese Americans without due process, and their legal rights were severely compromised. Then in 2001, Bush the Last, a globalist Republican, after the September 11 terrorist attacks, authorized the detention of suspected enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay and other facilities. The detention of these individuals and their legal status became subjects of habeas corpus-related legal challenges. Then in 2021, the Pelosi, a Democrat, trials of January 6th carried on the concept of suspending habeas corpus and removing due process and implementing unconstitutional internment. The 2021 Pelosi trials have the distinction that it was the first time the legal rights of American citizens were set aside for purely political purposes. Every other time there was an actual war or rebellion that identified specific enemy subjects. The enemies in the Pelosi trials were simply the enemies of the dragon-inspired globalists. It is important to recognize the prophetic trend of the issues associated with the overturning of the Constitution, for these are the events which identify the formation of the image of the beast. That is the great test for the people of God. It matters not if Pelosi is your heroine or Trump your champion. It matters that you recognize the approaching crisis and make the proper preparation. Those who prevail in the coming crisis are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, and all the powers that have apostatized from the law of God are about to be united, as were the Sadducees, Democrats, and Pharisees, Republicans, against the faithful children of God as the image of the beast is formed. The work of deception by either the false prophet of Islam in the United States or apostate Protestantism in the world is what brings about the unification of church and state. Sister White identifies that there will be another civil war, and that it will be brought about by the global bankers and the billionaires, who are the merchants of modern Babylon, that are prophetically one half of the dragon power's representatives, the other half being the professional politicians, lawyers, kings, and rulers. In India, China, Russia, and the cities of America, thousands of men and women are dying of starvation. The moneyed men, because they have the power, control the market. They purchase at low rates all they can obtain and then sell at greatly increased prices. This means starvation to the poorer classes and will result in a civil war. Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, 305. The Revolutionary War was a literal war, but it represented a political war that was initiated on September 11, 2001. The United States is now a nation divided between the two political parties. But God's word never fails, and his word identifies that Trump will be re-elected in the 2024 elections. A civil war that has for all intents and purposes already been initiated will begin in earnest shortly after his election, as it did with Lincoln, the first Republican president. The underlying logic of the civil war he will inherit will be produced by the global bankers and the billionaire merchants, who, among other things, have worked unceasingly to open up uncontrolled mass immigration around the globe to fuel their desire for more financial profits, and more importantly, to eliminate the middle class. The merchants of Babylon are seeking to develop a two-class system of super-rich and super-poor. Trump will be the president that presides over the establishment of the image of the beast, and it will be the false prophet of Islam that forces that image to be set up. And for those who have eyes and can perceive, and who have ears and can understand, the October 7th, 2023 attack of Islam of the third woe upon literal Israel, the ancient glorious land, is an obvious fulfillment of the providential work of the false prophet of Islam. The Democratic Party, who lifts itself up as the party of diversity, equity, and inclusion, is now reaping the fruits of the satanic philosophy they promoted. Since October 7, 2023, the anti-Israel versus pro-Israel argument is fracturing the political strength of their party as they approach the election of 2024. The division has produced infighting among their adherents, to the extent that their corrupted electronic voting machines may no longer have the ability to manipulate enough votes to overcome the actual votes that will be cast for Trump. The warfare of the false prophet of Islam is producing circumstances that elect Trump as the eighth president, who is of the seven since the time of the end in 1989, as the earth beast forms an image to the sea beast. The satanic philosophy of diversity, equity, and inclusion is one of the platforms for duplicating the rebellion of Sodom and Gomorrah with its push for the LGBTQ+ agenda. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 7:28-30. The LGBTQ plus agenda is also represented as gay pride, and as such, marks the final moral fall of the earth beast, and thereafter the world. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16:17-19. Pride precedes a fall, and pride precedes destruction. National apostasy produces national destruction, and the symbol of globalist pride is the symbol of the rebellion of Sodom and Gomorrah. Inspiration aligns the soon-coming Sunday law with Lot barely escaping the destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain, for it is Lot's descendants, Ammon and Moab, that are the symbol of those who escape from the hand of the papacy at the Sunday law. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Daniel 11:41. The Democratic Party is now imploding by its own hands. I care not for politics. I am simply aligning current history with the prophetic narrative. The Democratic Party has worked untiringly to open the borders around the world, thus allowing an unprecedented and uncontrolled flood of people. The floodgates have been opened around the planet by the dragon-inspired globalists, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:15-17. The remnant is the 144,000, and the history of the 144,000 is the history which began on September 11, 2001. Since then, the dragon power has been casting water out of his mouth as a flood in all directions. Water represents people. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Revelation 17:15. It is the dragon power's earthly representatives, globalists, that open the floodgates of illegal immigration in the sealing time of the 144,000. The dragon's floods around the world identify that the Lord is about to lift up the ensign at the soon-coming Sunday law. The floods of the dragon in Revelation 12 were swallowed up by the earth beast at the beginning of the United States, but the dragon's floods have now returned, thus providing warning of the approaching Sunday law crisis, for it is when the enemy comes as a flood that God lifts up his standard. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Isaiah 59:13-21. The standard that is lifted up when the enemy comes like a flood is the ensign, which is also a standard in God's Word. In the time preceding the soon-coming Sunday law, the floods of illegal immigration is a sign that probation is about to close. The environment that Isaiah identifies when he speaks of the lifting up of a standard describes a period of lawlessness, for he states, "Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor." The anarchy that has been financed by men such as George Soros and has been disregarded by Democratic politicians is aptly described by Sister White in connection with the passage from Isaiah. "Courts of justice are corrupt. Rulers are actuated by desire for gain and love of sensual pleasure. Intemperance has beclouded the faculties of many, so that Satan has almost complete control of them. Jurists are perverted, bribed, deluded. Drunkenness and revelry, passion, envy, dishonesty of every sort are represented among those who administer the laws. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Isaiah 59:14. The Great Controversy, 586. Illegal immigration, anarchical movements such as Antifa, anti-fascists, and violent movements such as Black Lives Matter, that are based upon such corrupted historical narrative as the critical race theory, has been supported and promoted by the dragon's political rulers, who have been motivated by the love of money, and the corrupt courts and jurists have cast truth into the same street where the two witnesses were murdered in Revelation chapter 11. That street was in the city of atheism, Egypt, and immorality, Sodom, which is the city of the dragon and his representatives. The environment represented by the fruits of the Democratic Party are represented prophetically as a flood, and when Satan, as God's enemy, opens his floodgates, it is evidence that God's ensign is about to be lifted up. We will continue this study in the next article. The condition of things in the world shows that troublous times are right upon us. The daily papers are full of indications of a terrible conflict in the near future. Bold robberies are of frequent occurrence. Strikes are common. Thefts and murders are committed on every hand. Men possessed of demons are taking the lives of men, women, and little children. Men have become infatuated with vice, and every species of evil prevails. The enemy has succeeded in perverting justice and in filling men's hearts with the desire for selfish gain. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Isaiah 59:14. In the great cities there are multitudes living in poverty and wretchedness, well-nigh destitute of food, shelter, and clothing, while in the same cities are those who have more than heart could wish, who live luxuriously, spending their money on richly furnished houses, on personal adornment, or worse still, upon the gratification of sensual appetites, upon liquor, tobacco, and other things that destroy the powers of the brain, unbalance the mind, and debase the soul. The cries of starving humanity are coming up before God, while by every species of oppression and extortion, men are piling up colossal fortunes. I was in the night season called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify the owners and builders. Higher and still higher these buildings rose, and in them the most costly material was used. Those to whom these buildings belonged were not asking themselves, "How can we best glorify God?" The Lord was not in their thoughts. As these lofty buildings went up, the owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that they had money to use in gratifying self and provoking the envy of their neighbors. Much of the money that they thus invested had been obtained through exaction, through grinding down the poor. They forgot that in heaven an account of every business transaction is kept. Every unjust deal, every fraudulent act, is there recorded. The time is coming when in their fraud and insolence, men will reach a point that the Lord will not permit them to pass, and they will learn that there is a limit to the forbearance of Jehovah. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, "They are perfectly safe." but these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. Testimonies, Volume 9, 12, 13.